to you, Candy Sappington. I love you.
Well, happy Mother's Day again. So we've been doing a series called Hello, My Name is Jesus. And today is Mother's Day, so today is Hello, My Name is Mom. Thank you for laughing in the crowd. Hello, my name is Mom. And my name is Mom and Grandy and Mama Sap and Madre and probably some other names I don't know, but they all make me feel loved, and that's a great thing. And some of you probably have different mom's names. Just simply, a mom is a female parent or a female in authority. I was also looking up, what's the difference between mom and mother? But it seems like mother carries a little bit heavier weight with it. A mother gives birth. A mother produces. And a mother cares or protects. I think that's pretty cool. Being a mom is hard. You know, before I had children, I remember being in a restaurant with my husband and someone's child would scream and we'd look at each other and say, our kids will never do that. We will take them out. Or our kids, and then we had kids, and it's very different. Being a parent is hard. Being a mom is hard. Having a baby in your body for 9 months is hard. Giving birth is hard. Adopting is hard. Being a stepmom is hard. Breastfeeding is really hard. It's hard when you take your toddler to preschool for the first time. It's hard when you take your child to kindergarten and they say, I don't want you to go to the class with me, just daddy. That's hard. It's hard when your children go on their first play date without you. It's hard when your child has their first sleepover. You don't get to go along and you can't protect them the whole time. It's hard when your child goes on their first date. It's hard when your child gets their driver's license. And it's hard when your child goes away to college or an internship program at your friend's church and you know they'll be protected the whole time, but you're not that close. You're 5 hours away. Or in our case, our daughter was 11 hours away for the first one she did. That's hard. Being a parent is not easy, but it's also such a blessing and it's such a great thing to be a mom. I asked a couple of my friends what they think is so awesome about being a mom. And so two of our worship team members may recognize what their moms put in this, so I'm just going to share this. It's amazing. I can give unconditional love without expecting anything in return. It just happened, and I didn't even have to try. Other relationships seem to have conditions or expectations attached, even when we try so hard to not let that be the way. Experiencing the same love in return, the childlike love, even as they get older, returned to me from my kids, no matter how many times I fail, is so very beautiful, incredibly deep, and wonderfully mysterious to me. I thought that was beautiful. As they've gotten older, especially seeing them come into themselves in everything really, but more so than the broad picture, watching them develop their beliefs and convictions aside from what we've done and our best to instill in them. It comes to a point where they're not just amazing because we are amazing, and this person said, just kidding, but because it is truly what they have chosen in their hearts to be and to follow that makes them amazing. As my kids are now adults, seeing how they handle disappointment, they've had great attitudes and trust that God is in control. They want his way before their own. They're some pretty cool adults for sure. And I get to do life with three amazing people, seeing how much God loves my kids, getting glimpses into what God put inside of them, then seeing them discover how much God loves them and see them recognize, cultivate, and give back to God the amazing things he put inside of them. That's pretty awesome. It is amazing to be a mom. You have this little person that looks like you, or maybe their daddy, or even grandma or grandpa. But you look at them and you're like, wow, I made this. They love you unconditionally. When they yawn and stretch when they're tiny and they give that, I think it's my most favorite thing of all time is seeing a baby that yawns and stretches. It gets me every single time. Seeing the differences and similarities in your children's looks and their personalities and even the things that they like to do. I think that's pretty cool. We have opportunities to play with our kids, to tell stories, to hang out and walk and talk. I think that's pretty special. And right now with this pandemic and the lockdown or whatever you're calling it in your house, quarantine, you have opportunities right now to take advantage of that. And maybe you haven't been able to spend time with your kids before and you've said, if only, now's the time, you have it. So I'm gonna lastly say what I think is great personally about being a mom. My kids are a product of love. My husband and I love each other, and we love our kids. And I hope that that's evident in my children, that they are a product of love. My kids are a product of our journey. There were highs, there were lows, there was everything in between. But who my kids are today, they are a product of what we've walked through. I look at my children now and I'm reminded of the things that I saw in them as small children. And I've talked about this before in the past. I remember Lacey as a little girl when we were youth pastors marching across the front in our youth room until she noticed that people were watching her, and she'd be like making declarations as the youth group was singing a song. And now I see her doing that on the platform. And Blake, he had this little twinkle in his eye, and you didn't know if he was just being the sweetest child ever or if he hid your keys. And he still makes that look. So I still go, are you being serious with me? What did you do? Mackenzie, I thought about different things about Mackenzie that I appreciate, but this one will just have to be my story for Mackenzie. Since Mackenzie was small, her daddy has always been her favorite. Always, always, always. I got her a shirt that said, I love my mommy and I love my daddy, and she wouldn't wear the I love my mommy shirt. And so this weekend, I got my kids shirts that say, I'm mom's favorite. Got all three of them the same shirt, different color, and Mackenzie won't put hers on. She is the same as she was when she was two. She is still her dad's favorite. She tells everyone she's a favorite. She tells her brother and sister she's the favorite. But honestly, my husband and I love all three of our kids the same. They are just very different, and you love them differently. And my daughter, Lacey, is sitting in the room, and she could probably go, I don't think so. And I do the same with my own mom. I always say, I know my brother's your favorite. It's okay. I get it. He's my favorite, too. Everybody loves Doug. I get it. Everybody loves Blake. I get it. I love my kids the same. My mom loves her kids the same. We're just all different. And so all of you at home, that you struggle with that with your children, they go, I know, so-and-so's your favorite, it's not me. We love you all the same, you're just different. Eventually, you might become a grandie like me, and that's pretty special too. And that love is very different. But I think I could speak on behalf of my husband and me that watching our kids parent is pretty amazing, and watching their siblings be aunt and uncle to their niece and nephews, that's pretty cool too. It makes you feel like we did a few things right, the way they love. The way my kids love each other, they could fight, they could say, I'm not speaking to you again, and turn around 3 minutes later and text each other or call each other. They love each other. When they're going through struggles, they reach out to each other, and that's just such a blessing. When you become a parent, there's a few things that you do. One of them is you get the room ready, you get the nursery ready, you get all the prep. But a big thing is you choose a name. And that's pretty significant. And so I knew that, like, in the Jewish culture, it's been pretty important. And even when I was looking up meanings of names, I found on a website that's not a Christian one, but I thought something that they wrote was really cool. This is a huge responsibility, choosing a name. Your child is going to live with that name forever. and unless they change it when they're an adult. But they're going to live with that name. So I know when we were thinking about names, we didn't necessarily go and look at the meaning of it, but we were like, would this name make our child be a really cool person? Would it make them be like, could you see an athlete having this name? Could you see a singer having this name? Those are probably the thoughts Barry and I had when we were having our children. But I see how Lacey and her husband Chasen have looked into names and the meaning of them, and her kids have really special names with special meanings. And I know a lot of people are doing that today. But we were more like, you know, what is that going to put on them? Which is kind of the same thing prophetically. What is that going to speak to in their future? And I've heard some names. I cannot believe people have named their children some things. Years ago, someone told me that she knew a gal that named her child Noxzema. Noxzema is a skincare product. So what is that child going to go through the rest of their lives with that name Noxzema? And then I've worked with people with some very strange names, and I've thought to myself, every time I've seen their names pop up in Outlook, I'm like, ha, 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 what a funny name. I bet they get teased about that. Parents need to think about those things. I don't always say it out loud, only, you know, like to my husband, but I wouldn't tease them. But we all think those thoughts. When you hear a funny name, you're going to laugh. It speaks prophetically. What is that person dealing with their whole life with an odd name? Having a name Candy, I used to think, well, I've got a great name, but what do other people think about Candy? And so finally, when I was in high school, I asked someone, I said, when you hear the name Candy, what do you think? And my friend said, truthfully, I think of a stripper. And I hadn't thought about that before. I just thought it was a cutesy name. And I was like, so it's just kind of funny how our minds go to a different place with a name. But I've always liked my name. I tried to shorten it a few times, and it didn't really work. But people that know me really well call me Can or Canned. But our names speak to us. They speak to who we are. I'm sure my husband having a name like Barry, that's a different name too. And people spelling it like a strawberry, B-E-R-R-Y. That's very different. Anyway, our names represent our identity and who we are. It's not just a convenient way to be distinguished from one another. It defines us. The names we're given at birth aren't accidental. They're more prophetic. Now, this is what I read on this regular website. We recommend you take note of the special meaning and history of the name, as your baby's name will play a big role in its life, and your baby will hear it spoken every day. Searching for a name is a very important and fun process, as it's the very first gift you will give your baby. Many people believe that the name can affect success in life through their children's working career and other circumstances, so they choose more respectable names or name meanings, as they believe that that meaning reflects the personality of the child. That was very cool, I thought. So what does my name mean? My actual given name is Candace Lynn. Candace means, this is cool, fire white or pure. My whole life, I have been striving to live a pure life because I always wanted to please the Lord. But as my kids got older, I would always tease them about, I wouldn't do that because I'm pure. So I probably ran it to the ground. But it's in my name. It's who I am. And fire white, I'd like to believe that fire white, it's such a hot white that I've got the fire of God in me. So I accept my name and its meaning. I think that's pretty cool. Barry. Although my husband has no hair today, his meaning is fair-haired, and he was very blonde. We were both towheads as children, and if you were brought up in a different ethnicity, you may not know what a towhead is. It's when they have the white hair, like it looks bleached. We both had that, but none of our kids really had that blonde of hair. Lacey's name, again, we didn't choose her name because it had this fantastical meaning. We chose it because we thought she'd be a cool person. And if she had the name Lacey, she would be fun, she would be outgoing, she'd be cheery, she'd just be the greatest person. And look at her today. That's who my daughter Lacey is. She is fun. And when I've had parties at church, Lacey's the first to go around and greet people. She's very cheery. But her name means a place in France, belonging to Lacey or Lassie. So that's not awesome. But I did find one that said cheerful. And I think, Lacey, you are cheerful. Blake means pale blonde. If you have seen my son, he's not really very dark, and he is naturally blonde, although it's kind of dirty blonde right now, but that fits him, or dark. Blake's not dark. So that was different. And Mackenzie, again, this was like a family-chosen name. In fact, right before she was born, I decided we should change her name to be Kaylee, spelled with Lacey's letters, just mixed up. So it would have been C-A-L-E-E. But the family had chosen Mackenzie. So we went with that. But it actually has a cool meaning. Child of the wise leader. Isn't that awesome? But this is also one of the meanings. Born of fire. Now go back to Candace. Fire, white, or pure. Cool name, right? So I was thinking, in the Bible, there's a lot of people that have really cool stories about their names. But I chose for Mother's Day to concentrate on Ruth and Naomi. Every female probably that has been brought up in church loves the story of Ruth and Esther. But I really liked the story of Ruth and Naomi for Mother's Day, because we focus on Ruth and what a great person she was. She was a great daughter. But why was she such a great daughter? She was a great daughter because Naomi was a pretty great mom, a pretty great mom-in-law. So Ruth's name, amazingly, means companion, friend, or vision of beauty. And Naomi means beautiful, pleasant, delightful. So in the story of Ruth, there's only four chapters in the book of Ruth. It starts out telling the story of Naomi and Elimelech. They left Judea to go to Moab because there was a famine in Judea. And Elimelech, the husband, decided, we're going to go to Moab where they have food and we'll be okay there. Instead of holding tight with the rest of his family in Judea, in Bethlehem, he left to go to Moab. And Moab was a very bad place, really. They had incestuous relationships throughout that community. It was not a good place. They did not fear God. And then their two sons ended up marrying Moabite women. Elimelech died, and Naomi is left with her two sons, and they both died. From my understanding, I was reading a couple different things. I couldn't figure out if they lived in Moab for 10 years or if Ruth and her sister-in-law Orpah were married to their husbands for 10 years. Regardless, they were in Moab for about 10 years, and both of Naomi's sons died. So she is left with nothing but two daughters-in-law, and she said, it's time for me to go back home to my family. And they said, we're coming with you. And she said, no. And they said, no, we're going to come with you. So they start on their journey, and she said, girls, I don't want you to come with me. You need to stay here with your family. I cannot ask you to go with me and leave everything that you've known your whole lives behind. I want you to stay here. And Orpah said, okay, I'll stay. Goodbye. And she leaves. But what did Ruth say? She said, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are going to be my people. And your God will be my God. Where you die, that's where I'm going to be buried. This and more may the Lord do to me if anything but death parts us. And that's from Ruth 1, 16 and 17. Okay. A daughter-in-law just told her mother-in-law, I'm binding myself to you. There's nothing that's going to separate us except death. So to me, if Ruth, this amazing woman, is so determined to stay with Naomi, Naomi must have been pretty amazing. And those words that define her name, pleasant, beautiful, delightful, that must have been who Naomi was. So they head back to Bethlehem, and some of her family come around Naomi, and they say, is this Naomi? We haven't seen you in years. And she says, don't call me that. Call me Mara, because the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. I'm a bitter woman. And during this time, Ruth proves herself as a worthy daughter. she goes out and gleans in the fields, and a relative, a distant relative, they call him the kinsman redeemer, which I'll get to. He sees her there, and someone, he says, "Who's this out here in our fields?" And someone said, "Oh, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law." And he tells them, "Treat her well. In fact, leave extra. Leave the good stuff behind for Ruth. Ruth is very well taken care of." She brings back wheat. She brings back food for Naomi, and she takes care of her mother-in-law. And people around them are seeing that Ruth has taken such good care of Naomi. And when Naomi finds out that Boaz, the owner of this field, is watching out for Ruth, she says, "Wait a second, he's a relative. He could be the kinsman redeemer. This is what I want you to do." And she gives Ruth instructions to go to what they call the threshing floor and lay at his feet and cover herself with his blanket until he notices her, and then he will give you instructions, is what she says. He gives her instructions, and he said, "There is one relative that's closer." And a lot of you know the story, so I'm going to try to abbreviate it. What ends up happening is the closer relative says, "I don't think I want to take on that wife and the property that goes with her. I have my own wife and my own property. I think it'll just be too ugly, too messy to deal with." So Boaz takes Ruth as his wife, and they end up having a child, Obed, who becomes the grandfather of King David. So Ruth is now in the ancestry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she was a Moabite. But because of the way she treated her mother-in-law and the way that her mother-in-law treated her, this Moabite became the great grandmother of King David and in the family line of Jesus Christ. Pretty amazing. So I just really felt like on this Mother's Day, I wanted to focus on that. I believe that after Ruth gave birth to her child Obed, and now the people in the community said, "Naomi, Ruth has been better to you than seven sons could have been. That's one amazing daughter that you have." I believe Naomi went back, and she was called Naomi now. No longer was she Mara. She now had a grandchild. And the Bible says that that child was now, even though Boaz was the biological father, because he was the kinsman redeemer, he knew that him having a child with Ruth, it would actually be in the family line of Elimelech's family. So Ruth's husband was Mahlon, so this was considered Mahlon's child, even though he wasn't the biological father of it. So Ruth, a Moabite, because Naomi was pleasant, delightful, and beautiful, just like her name said. She loved her well. She loved her back. And she was the daughter that Naomi needed, that she required in order to be redeemed. And this is a beautiful story about redemption. Absolutely beautiful. So many things about it. Boaz even taking this Moabite woman and knowing she's going to have a child, but it's not really going to be mine. He redeemed the family line. It's so beautiful. I want to end with this. "Hello, my name is." My name is Candy. My real name is Candace. And my name means pure or fire white. And I believe that I've got the fire of God inside of me. And I have tried my hardest to live a pure life. What is your name? What does it mean?